Okay, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, we have been learning halachos of brachos on foods for the last couple of months, actually. It's been going for a while. And I'd like to discuss with you tonight some brachos that I literally know almost nothing about. And these are brachos on fragrances. We smell pleasant things, and there's a bracha that we make. Generally, bari mine b'samim, however, we'll see as we go on that there are a number of other brachos that are recited for fragrances. There's isbe b'samim, there's atze b'samim, there's hanosin reyach tov b'peiros, bari shemen arev. There are many different beautiful brachos that can be recited on fragrances. And our job tonight is to discuss that. Now, the brachos on fruits, on foods, are called birchos hanehenin, right? The bracha that I get for enjoyment. At first glance, we would say that the bracha on besamim is also birchos hanehenin, no? I enjoy it, right? It's geschmack, it's good. Make a bracha, no? That would be simple Judaism. Now, the problem, though, is as follows. And this problem we can see. The Gemara. Gemara. Amrav zutra batuv yomarav. Minayin shemavarchan al hareyach. Shenemar kol haneshama tahaleoka. Right? How do you know you make a bracha on fragrances? It says all neshamas, right? Madusha, no? That's what you say it in Russian or something. A neshama, right, you praise God. Ezehu davar shaneshama nehenes mimenu. Ve'ein haguf nehenem mimenu. Hevi omer zahareyach. Which thing gives spiritual hanah, not physical hanah?
Your body.
The fragrances. Reyach. Beautiful Gemara. Yeah. Now, problem. Zok the Tzlach. The Tzlach is the Neid of Yehuda. Right, he was the chief rabbi of Prague. That's why he has the most enjoyable shilas. If you go through the Note of Yehuda, like he was a city rabbi. So he's the one who has the shila about, you know, the Rosh Hashiva, who married his Rebbe's daughter and was like a Ben Bias at the Rebbe's house, and he ended up like sleeping with the Rebbe's wife for like a number of years every Shabbos afternoon. Right? And then the shiloh was, after he became Rosh Hashiva, so I guess he encountered like a pasuk that says that you shouldn't do that. And he wanted to know, this is actually a good topic for a shir. Maybe we should give a whole shir on this Nodi Yehuda. But he wanted to know, am I obligated to tell my Rebbe / father-in-law that his wife is not forbidden to him? Wow. Okay, that's a tough one, no? Wow. So Nodi Yehuda got all the really good shilohs, because he lived in Prague. Nodi Yehuda also, as we know, hated Hasidim, no? He hated Hasidim. Like the story goes, in the end of the Nodi Yehuda, Simon...
He loved traditional Judaism, that's
it. Now, right, the story goes that Nodi Yehuda in Simon Hay is a famous tshuva where he does not like the recitation of L'Shem Yichuds. By Hasidim, you know, before you do any mitzvah, you speak about unifying God's name. L'Shem Yichud, Kuchabrichu, whatever that means. So the Nodi Yehuda wrote a tshuva about the L'Shem Yichud, and he finished the tshuva off by quoting the pasuk, Ki Yisharim Darchei Hashem, Tzadikim Yehubam, right, that God's paths are straight, Tzadikim follow God's paths, and then he wrote, V'chasidim Yikashlubam, and the Chasidim stumble on it, right? That's what Nodi Yehuda writes at the end of that tshuva. Now the printer said, like, you know, it's a pasnish. You can't have the word chasidim, yikashlubam, that's not what the pasuk says. So he went and he changed it back to the original pasuk, ki yishon dach Hashem, tzadikim yelchubam, uposhim yikashlubam, and the sinners, right? So apparently Nodi Yehuda's response to the printer was, I took the poshim, I made them into chasidim. You took chasidim, you made them into poshim. Right? It's a famous Nodi Yehuda is a classic. He was a piece of work. So the Nodi Yehuda, in his Sefer Tzion LaNefesh Chaya, he wrote this Sefer on Gemara. His mother was named Chaya. His mother died right before he was going to publish this Sefer. So he named the Sefer after his mother. Tzion L'Nefesh Chaya. It's a commemoration to the neshama of Chaya. So Noda Behuda says, one second, what's going on here in this Gemara? How come we need a separate source for the bracha on fragrances? We know that the reason why we make bracha on every food that we enjoy is the Gemara derives that there's a svara, that hanehenem and olam hazeh b'lo bracha, it's ma'al, right? That the entire world belongs to Hashem. If I get pleasure from the world without reciting a bracha, so that is tantamount to me'ila, that is like illicit hanof from the Beis HaMikdash. So the Noda Behuda asks, how come we need a separate limud in this Gemara? So basically, the Noda Behuda has a razzle-dazzle idea. He says, you know what? The Gemara says that I can't get hanof from this world without a bracha because it's me'ila. Because it's like getting pleasure from Beis HaMikdash, from Hekdash items, which I'm not allowed to do. But the Gemara tells us in Pesachim that kol, mar'eh, and reyach ain b'hem yishum me'ila. Right? If I listen to Beis HaMikdash music, I'm passing by the Beis HaMikdash, and I hear the Levim playing their violins and their harp. By the way, the instruments that they had in the Beis HaMikdash were mostly woodwinds, not string instruments. Mm-hmm. That's the Mishnah in Erechin.
But this is Halleluka, all the Halleluka sisters.
Most of them, the Gemara in Erechin explains, really meant that they were woodwinds, that they were blowing. Even what we call a harp,
yeah,
right, which we usually think of a harp as being
a string
instrument, right. What they did is it had strings, but the strings were powered, as it were, by...
But by Dovid HaMelech, doesn't say
the wind would go and the wind would make his harp play music.
God's miracles.
What?
God's miracles.
God's miracles, maybe. Or it was like
a wind chime.
It was like a wind chime, slightly different. It was not exactly what we call a harp, no?
No.
But the fact is, if I listen to the beautiful music in the Beis HaMikdash, and I enjoy it, is that me'ila? Am I getting illicit hanof in the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is no. Kol, ein bo mishum me'ila. Mar'eh. Right, the Gemara says that there was no building in the world as beautiful as the building that Hordas built. It was gorgeous. I went this summer with my kids. We went to the Israel Museum, had the Herod exhibit. It's tremendous. I mean, this guy knew what he was doing. He was a Rasha Marusha. He was a murderer. But building, he knew. Right? So the fact is, it's beautiful. If I look at the Beis HaMikdash, I say, oh, Azah Sheiner Binyan. Right? Is that Me'ila? Of course it's not Me'ila. Right? Koil Mara and Reyach. There's no Me'ila and Reyach. So therefore the Noda Behuda says, right? You see like three lines on the bottom of this source. We say that Kol Mara and Reyach, there's no Me'ila. Therefore, if there's no Me'ila on it, the Gemara has to ask, well, the Gemara asks, okay, there's no Me'ila, so how do you know you make a bracha on fragrances? Because I can't say it's the regular bracha. So that's why we have a different source. Kol HaNeshama to Halel Ka. That's what Noda Behuda says. The impression you get from the Noda Behuda. And Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his Tziyunim LaTorah, and elsewhere in the Lekach Tov, Rabbi Yosef Engel has this. Rabbi Yosef Engel points out that the impression you get from the Noda Behuda is that the bracha on fragrances is really not Birchas HaNehenen. It's not like bracha on foods. It is a different category of bracha. If anything, it might be more akin to Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'a, which is what we'll be discussing over the next few weeks. Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'a, I praise God because there's some amazing stuff in this world. I hear thunder. Wow.
I see a rainbow.
Right? What?
I see a rainbow.
You see a rainbow. You see a gorgeous, beautiful mountain. You see a beautiful person. Right, we're going to be discussing a lot of these brachas.
Beautiful.
Those are birchas shavach v'hoda'a.
Ananas.
What?
Ananas or kushi.
Yeah, okay, whatever. What? Those are less politically correct ones. We can always count on you. Right? But the fact is...
If you go to, let's say, you go to the zoo... and you.
We'll talk, not this week, we'll get there. Not this week.
Okay.
But the fact is, the impression you get from the tzlach, from the Noda Behuda, is that the bracha on reyach is fundamentally different than all other Birchas Hanehenin. It's really not a bracha on Hanoah. Birchas Hanoah is because there's Mi'ila. There's no Mi'ila over here. So what is it? It's like a Birchas Shevodam, thanking God that He created a world that has such beautiful odors. Now, alternatively, we could say it is Birchas Hanehenin, but I need a special source to tell me that this type of Hanoah, which ordinarily does not have Mi'ila, also requires a bracha. There are two possibilities, but the impression you get from the tzlach is it's not birchas hanehenin. If that's the case, so there should be a few nafgaminas. There's a famous orzarua. We know, the Gemara Pesachim tells me, that kol ha-mitzvos mevarchan alein over lasi yosin. Right? I make a bracha before I do every mitzvah, before I put on tefillin, before I blow shofar, before I light neiris Chanukah. I make a mitzvah.
Huh? Before I learn Torah.
Before I learn Torah, it might be different, okay? But before I do mitzvahs, Torah, the staple, is a beautiful essay where he argues that Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaNehenin.
Wow.
I actually like to say this over in Shavuos. It's such a nice idea, no? The bracha I recite when I learn Torah is because Torah is geshmak. I like that. Okay, but the fact is, the Or Zeruah says that all brachos, all mitzvahs, I make a bracha before I do the mitzvah. Let's say I didn't make a bracha before I did the mitzvah. Let's say I blew shofar and didn't make a bracha. Zok the Or Zeruah, big chiddush. I can make the bracha afterwards, no?
After you're finished?
After I finish doing the mitzvah, I can make the bracha. Oyver lasi yosin is lechatchila, says the Or Zeruah. The Rambam disagrees with the Or Zeruah. The Rambam paskins that I can only make a bracha before I do the mitzvah. If I did the mitzvah and didn't make a bracha, right? I lost it. But the Or Zeruah is quoted by the Ramban, Hilchos Kisui Hadam. No, in Siman Chaf Ches, in Yerideya, in Kisui Hadam, right? Let's say you did Kisui Hadam and you didn't make a bracha. So what do? The Ramban says make the bracha afterwards, no?
What happens if it's if it's
now, but let me just finish the thought.
Okay.
But, says the Or Zeruah, only Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas Shevach V'Hodah can I do after. Think about it. Do I make the bracha on thunder before the thunder happens or after the thunder?
After.
Oh, okay, good. Right? Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. Do I make the bracha before I see, right, Dashiell's friends or after?
After.
Right? After. Right? So, brachos on Shevach V'Hodah I do afterwards. Right? This is relevant. There's a discussion in the Rush at the beginning of Ksubis, no? When you get married, you make a bracha. Is that a Birchas HaMitzvah? Or is it Birchas Shevach V'Hodah?
Right,
so, the Rush tain is that who says it's a mitzvah to get married? I'm not allowed to say this over Mount Sinai Jewish Center. Right? Now, it's a Machlokes Rishonim. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah to get married. Right? Rush writes, no mitzvah to get married, there's a mitzvah to have children. No mitzvah to get married. Right? We're not allowed to say this over Mount Sinai. But the fact is, the fact is that brachos of Shevach V'Hodah you do afterwards often.
You can only do them after.
You can only do it after. Right? What? We make the bracha b'samen beforehand. Good question. Okay, right. So, the question is, you see, brachos are tricky. Birchas HaMitzvah we do before. The Or Zeruah says if you want to do it after, you can. Shevach V'Hodah we always do after. Right? Birchas Hanenim we always do before. If I ate and I didn't make a bracha, you lost it. No? That everybody agrees. So the question of what happens if I smelled something, can I still make a bracha after, should be relevant. We paskin that we make the bracha on besamim beforehand. We don't make it after.
Why?
It seems like we are really assuming that besamim is Birchas Hanenim. Even, which is against the simple reading of the Tzlach. This is a point that, I mentioned that Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay about this Tzlach. There was a great Talmud Chacham in Yeshiva, you might remember him, Rabbi Yosef Winevsky. Remember Yosef Winevsky? Rabbi Winevsky was a blind fellow. Lived in the neighborhood. He was a blind rabbi. He had a degenerative eye condition. He knew he was losing his eyesight. What he did with his last drop of eyesight is he saved his eyesight to read Rabbi Yosef Engel's Svarim. He said, maybe after I'll be blind, people read me Gemara. No one's going to read Rabbi Yosef Engel to me. He was a special guy. He had stories. He was great.
Here's a question. I mean, I don't want to get away from it, but here's a question, because today they have roses, but some of them don't have a fragrance. You don't you sniff them.
We'll talk about the question I want to get to. But Rabbi Winevsky, in the volume, in memory of Rabbi Winevsky, so Rabbi Avram Gervitz, who was a chavrus of Rabbi Winevsky back in Chaim Berlin, has an essay basically showing that Shulchan Aruch paskins that the bracha on fragrances is a birchas hanehenim. Let me read it to you. You can't get hana'a from a fragrance until you smell it. Until you make a bracha. Before you make the bracha, before you smell. You don't make a bracha at all. Meaning, we are assuming it is birchas hanehenim. Now, even though it's birchas hanehenim, usually when I make a bracha before I eat something, I also make a nach bracha. I also make a bracha after I eat. How come I don't make a bracha achrona on the fragrance? The answer is twofold. Right? The Mishnah Brura quotes from a Rashi that's considered hana'a mu'etesi. It's a minimal amount of hana'a. Now, what does that mean? So that could mean in one of two ways. That could mean quantitatively or qualitatively. Meaning to say, the Aruch HaShulchan takes the quantitative approach here in Sif Beis. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, I make a bracha before I eat. How much do I have to eat to make a bracha before I eat? Even a morsel, a tiny amount. I'm going to eat one crumb, I have to make a hamotzi.
Who says this?
Right?
Croutons in a salad?
Croutons in a salad. And didn't we speak about croutons at one point? It depends on the type of croutons, how they're made. But yeah.
Who says this?
We're saying the Aruch HaShulchan explaining this din. Okay. I don't make a bracha after my besamim because quantitatively it is hana'a mu'etes. Right? Just like if I eat a morsel of bread, I don't make a bracha after. I only make a bracha beforehand. If I have besamim, it's like a morsel. It's a tiny drop. No bracha after. Alternatively, we could say it's qualitative. Hanamu etes means it's not as geschmack, it's not as enjoyable as food, right? Food is geschmack. Fragrances, not as geschmack. That's a second approach. However, there's a third approach, which the Shar HaTzion quotes over here, which I don't think I gave you in the source sheet. Shar HaTzion quotes in the Sefer Kolbo, very interesting idea. When I eat food, I can only make a bracha afterwards, kol zman shelo nisakel hamazon b'meyov, until the food is fully digested. No? 72 minutes, let's say, right? Those are the shiurim that are given. Once the food is totally digested, it's assumed to be gone. Besamim is this interesting hana'a. Maybe that's what the Gemara means, it's hana'a for the neshama, not for the guf. It's gone the second it's over.
Right.
It doesn't stay with you.
It's like chewing gum. There's no substance.
Chewing gum, we assume I can make, again, well, chewing gum, there's no bracha chron because quantitatively it's too small, probably, right? This is a different approach. It's not that it's quantitatively too small. It's that it's already like the halachic equivalent of digestion by food, which means it evaporated. It's over. So now, we make a bracha before. That implies that we are assuming that the bracha on fragrances is a birchas hanehenin. Now, question, right? And this is what Danny was asking a minute ago. Okay, birchas hanehenin. Well, birchas hanehenin means I get enjoyment. Their briskers apparently don't make barim nebesamim matzah Shabbos on Havdalah because they say we don't really enjoy smells anymore. Briskers are like warped sometimes. Ooh.
Bismanazay, we don't enjoy
it. That's what the briskers assume. There are people who have a condition that they can't smell. What's it called? There's a technical term for it.
Cold.
What?
A cold.
Right? Yeah, I know that feeling. Let's say, many achronim say that the brachas on fragrances is only if the fragrance is very fragrant. You gave the example before about roses. Right, we'll talk about roses in a few minutes. Roses used to smell. You read all of... half of literature is about the beautiful smells of roses. You buy roses today, they don't grow them for smell. They grow roses today for the look, not for the smell. They have tricks how to do this. So I don't know if it has a present smell or not. I don't know if, even if it has a pleasant smell, if the pleasant smell is like a mild smell, poskim say you don't make a bracha. Right? I cook cholent. I like the way cholent smells. Do I make a bracha on the smell on the cholent that I smell Friday afternoon? Right? The grunkern. Grunkern smells geschmack, no? Do you make a bracha on it? Right? So,
it's a food item.
It's a food item. We'll talk about brachas on food items that smell good, but the Acharonim say, first of all, it's got to be a very strong smell. So if I want to test it to see if it has a good smell, do I make a bracha? Usually I'm not allowed to do that by eating, right? Mm-hmm. I can't just eat a bit in the... So over here they say maybe it's permitted. Why? So they say it's permitted because of an interesting Gemara in Brachas on Daf Yud Dalet, Mat Emes. The Gemara says that a Mat Emes, Shari Batainis, Mahusha Yadom, on a fast day, can you taste food? Most Rishonim understand it means I taste it and I spit it out. There's a question about what's the nature of Tainis. And then the Gemara discusses, what about Birchas Hanen? If I taste it and I spit it out. And the poskim say that unless it's a significant amount, that's like a revius, I'm allowed to taste something and spit it out without a bracha. So, Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, in one of his tshuvas, it's quoted in this book, the Bezos HaBracha, that I have here. Pardon me. Reb Scheinberg says that, you know what? He thinks that to smell something to see if it smells is like matemes. It's like tasting something and spitting it out. Because, remember, it never enters the body. That's what we've been discussing. So therefore, I could smell something to see what it smells like, and if I like it, I can make a bracha.
So you can gargle in Yom Kippur?
So technically the answer is yes.
So you're allowed to use mouthwash?
What?
So you're allowed to use mouthwash?
Yes.
In Yom Kippur?
Technically, I mean, well, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is different. Yom Kippur might be okay. On Shavuos or Tammuz, the answer is yes. On Sayim Gedai, the answer is yes. Yom Kippur could be that there is an additional iser of rechitza, and washing might be. It says in Shulchan Aruch that it's also lirchot kol aver shebaguf, any part of the body. It could be that mouthwash is like washing the mouth, which is part of the body.
You're saying only on the public fast days, not on the. Like
rabbinical fasting.
If I accept a fast on myself, right. That's a discussion in the Gemara. How this applies to the fast days in Shulchan Aruch. So we pass in the Din Mat Emes applies. Generally speaking, we are mekel on the regular fast day to we're mekel on the regular fast day to brush teeth or to use mouthwash. On Yom Kippur, no, because of the rechitz issue. Tisha B'Av is a little more complicated. Acharonim speak about, depends how bad tasting your mouth is, etc. Okay, yeah, Orly.
Okay, to move to a slightly closer tangent, if you're walking into a flower shop...
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
So I walk into, right now, I walk into a flower shop.
Okay.
So it smells really good sometimes.
Yeah.
Or,
often.
I remember the one summer I worked in the OU, so one of the companies was right over... in Jersey City, there's a spice company. Oh, it's geschmack. You walk into the factory, right? It smells really good, right? Do you make a bracha before you go in? Probably. No? Now, the issue, though, in many of these things is, like, what bracha you make. We'll have to talk about that. And... then we'll also come back to the spice shop because it's a variable that we haven't gotten to yet. So let's... Yeah.
Every day when I go to work and come back from work, there's a bakery. And they have... And you can smell...
Okay, so a breaker. Bakery bread. I didn't print this up for you. Let me read you what it says in Shulchan Aruch Se'if. Yudalad in the Rambah. Simon Reish test Zayin Sif Yudalad Rambah, right? Yesh Omrim de Hame. I didn't print this out on the sheets. Yesh Omrim Hame Riach be Pas Cham. Yesh Lo Levari Shenosan Reach Tayv be Pas. The Abu Draham has a new bracha. He made it up himself called Hanose. I know. Certain people feel that we don't make up brachas after the Talmud was closed. But the Abu Draham says if I smell bread, I make the bracha. Hamiriach ha that I make the bracha nosin reyach tov bepas. V'yesh omem de'ein levarich alav, l'kach ein lahariach bo. Some say I don't make a bracha. Therefore, I shouldn't smell it.
And he's talking about a treif bakery also.
Even a treif bakery. All these smells can be made on treif items, but you should not do it on isurei hana'ah. So the one chumrah, I don't know, I have a few chumras in life. So one of my chumras in life is Pesach time, right, when I walk to Shul. So I walk on the southern side of 187th Street. And let me explain to you why. Because on the northern side of 187th, at 187th and St. Nick, there is the Grillon Bakery. It's, what?
It smells really good.
It smells really good. Now, on Pesach, I got a problem, because I'm getting Hana'ah from Chometz.
No? So you say yes for mamash.
So, we assume that there's no Me'ila on it, but there's still some Isser, especially by Pesach. It's Aser b'Hana'ah. There is some enjoyment involved in it, so I shouldn't smell the Chometz. The Achreinim discusses Sugya in Pesachim, in this context of whether it's E'efshar v'lo kamachavein. Is it possible or impossible? Or is it difficult to avoid it? It's not so difficult for me to avoid this bakery. Walk on the southern side of the street, not the northern side. Consequently, the problem is if you walk on the southern side, that's where all the churches are.
So, the
right? So you have to, you can zigzag a little bit.
obstacle course.
But yeah, wait, we spoke about the Armenian church. So this is...
Huh? It's got a big mural up there.
It's a big mural. They mamish have Yashka Pundrik like sitting there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. What? See, walking in front of a church, the Gemara says, "Harchek me'ahalecha avli." You're not supposed to walk within dalat amos of a church. That's avodah zarah. So Catholicism is a question whether it's avodah zarah in the Rishonim. The Heiliger Armenians, or the not Heiliger Armenians, ended up on the wrong side of the icon controversy in the 8th century. Right. If you want to know them, the last groups that's definitely old devotees that are in this world, they're on 187th Street. Wow. Right? The Heights has everything. The Armenian church, they being on the wrong side of the icon controversy means that they believe that the icons that they have in church is not just a representation, but they believe that that is the koach itself. That is what we call full-fledged avodah zarah. Right? Armenians are on the wrong side of... Yes, that's...
History.
Is that my cleaner, Davins, in that Armenian church? Aram, up on Pleasant Cleaners on 187th, frequents that church. So, if you want to not give someone a gift, like 3 days before December 25th, he's the guy not to give a gift to.
Yes,
those are have a different Christmas.
Oh, that's also true. They're like the Amshanov Lahavdol. Right. Okay, now, I'm doing too many tangents tonight, I'm sorry.
It's all right, it's still Torah.
Maybe. So the fact is, what brachas are there to make? So let's just read Shulchan Aruch Sif Beis. Im zeh sheyotzi mimenu hareyach eitz, o min eitz, if the fragrance, the smell, comes from a tree, an eitz, or min eitz, I make a boire atze besamim. Imhu esev, if it's a grass, boire isbe besamim. Now, what's the difference between a grass and a tree? So there are a few possible differences. There is the difference that comes up in Birchas HaPeiros, that boire pri ha'etz is recited on something. We learned the Gemara that the gavza v'hada asaperi, meaning discussion in Rishonim, four shitas in Rishonim, but most assume that you have that it's considered a perennial, not an annual. It lasts from year to year. That's one definition. Another definition of a tree is that it has a solid trunk as opposed to a very flimsy thing. That is not such a pashut definition, because grapes are really a tree in halacha. Vines are trees. Vines are pretty flimsy. They get harder over time. So they say, well, if it will get harder over time, that's like it's hard. There is a huge discussion here in Achreinim. If you look in the Mishnah Brura, Sif Katin Yud Zayin. Yeah, Shulchan Aruch Sif Gimel. Al Havered. Vered are roses. Al Hakinamon. cinnamon. Mehavered. Mehavered is rose oil. Right? Levona. Matzticha. I don't know what that is. You make bori atze besamim. Okay? In other words, roses are in eights. Zakna Mishnah Pura. Vered is what we call roses. Kamash Rambaseh. You could technically eat rose petals, right? You could. We don't make the bracha asher nasan reyach tov bepeiros. You don't make the bracha that's recited on fruits, right? The bracha recited for fragrant fruits. I don't make that on the rose. Kevan she'eini kara omed la'achila el lahariach el mevarchem borei atzei besamim. Meaning, a rose could have been Nosin Reach Toy Bepe Rice. I could have assumed that maybe a rose is like a fruit. The answer is that no. I make a Bore Atse Besamim because primarily the reason why you have a rose is for Reach, not for Ochel. Even though some people eat it, it's not primarily for eating. Vahainu, we're talking about those Viradim Hagdalim Beilanos. The roses that grow on trees. But those who grow Bekarka, you make a Bore Ispe Besamim. There are different types of roses, no? You want to explain this to me?
So, if, right now what they're doing is they're trying to breed new roses. So, there are different types. Most are on either bushes or on some sort of vine that called climbing roses, where you can basically manipulate the vine. But not so much with roses, but if they're referring to rose here as more categorical, they could be crossbreeding it with other types of flowers in order to make it less thorny, to genetically modify the colors.
Okay.
To make the heads of the rose like bigger or smaller or tighter, things like that.
Right. So apparently the Mishnah Berurah is saying that there's some roses that grow on bushes, and there's some roses that are ispei besamim, that halachically are like grasses. Now, what does that mean? If the definition of a grass is that it is an annual, not a perennial, are there roses that you have to plant every year? I think, I'm not sure.
No, if you go to Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, yeah, it's the same bushes every year. Every spring they blossom.
Yeah, they bloom at different seasons.
So if the definition is based on the hardness of the stem... Also, I think most roses have a hard stem. I don't know what the Mishnah Berurah means to.
Is it possible that the Mishnah Berurah is using vered to refer to flowers or generic?
Right, so that's what Orly suggested beforehand. That may, right, he says it's what we call roses. He begins with that, but maybe a rose by any other name is also a rose.
Yeah, he might not have been a botanist.
Huh?
He might not have been a botanist.
It could be. The fact is, there's a fundamental machlokes here as to whether the definition of eights for borei atzei besamim is the same as the definition of eights for borei pri ha'eitz. In the Bir Halacha, the next verse, he quotes in the Magen Avraham, it has to be that the stem is hard, even though it does not last from year to year. If it has a hard stem, that's an eights, according to the Magen Avraham. That is not the same definition as we have by borei pri ha'eitz. Right? It's a different definition. So, this is the real question that comes up. When do I make borei atzei besamim? When do I make borei isbei besamim? Most poskim assume that certainly if I have something that definitely is perennial, hadasim. Hadasim are perennial? That's what they say. They say the hadasim you make a borei atzei besamim on. Lilies. Are what?
That's an asev.
What?
That's an asev.
It's an asev?
Yeah, it's not a tree. Lilies in the field.
So the roots of lilies last year to year. No, you don't have to replant them every year, apparently.
But it's under the ground.
It's underground. So that's a machlokas harishonim by fruits.
Is there like a shehakol for fragrances, which is like the default for everything?
So the answer is yes. There are two of them. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay. Now, honeycomb kid, yeah. Right? What bracha do you make on honeycombs? I remember as a kid, there was a honeycomb tree right next to my elementary school. I never thought of the Shiloh as a kid.
I thought bees create the...
Huh?
They do.
They aren't organic. I mean, they don't grow. Bees create them.
The bee... But the bee... No, no.
A honeysuckle?
A honeysuckle, thank you.
Okay.
Honeysuckle. Honey, thank you, and thank you. Honeysuckle. What bracha do you make on honeysuckle? So honeysuckle, many assume that it's a borei ispe besamim, not borei atse besamim, because the definition of an eitz by fruits, by borei pri ha'eitz, is I have branches that come out of the central stem. Honeysuckles, the fragrant part comes from the central stem itself. There's no little branch beforehand.
The fragrance comes from
there's like
the piston.
The piston, which is attached to the stem, there's no little shoot, right? Usually a tree is stem, thing, then fruit, right? If the fruit comes out directly from the stem.
Like lilies. No, that's like within the flower, but that's from the center.
Right.
But it's, yeah, the brown things that smell, usually.
The smelling part comes at the end, but there's like a little... Isn't there like a little branch sort of before the smelling part? The flower head is attached to a little branch. It's not attached to the stem. We need pictures.
Yeah, I'm a city boy.
I have some pictures.
You should come with fragrances too. That would be really a smell.
Like these.
Wow.
You see?
Like these lilies.
Thank you.
These are not the smelly ones.
Okay, but.
Pretty. You should make that too.
Right, so those lilies. There, what is in the ground? And then...
The bottom of the stem.
The bottom of the... It's just the stem? There's no little... If it's just a stem, so then many poskim would say that's considered borei isbe besamim, not borei atse besamim. Mint. What bracha do you make on nana? Mint. What? You'd say atse?
Yeah.
Why?
No.
Can you just speak louder? I'm deaf. So, it could be last year to year, but the issue with mint is, do people eat mint all the time? You include mint leaves in recipes, no? This is a guy-girl divide here. Right. So mint, right? Is it like a rose? A rose, the Mishnah Berurah says... The rose, yeah, you could eat it, but it's primarily grown to smell. Mint, is it primarily grown to eat or primarily grown to smell? Should I say that for mint I make hanosin re'ach toiv beperos?
No.
So why not? So some say a sevara, right? The minig is that on mint you make a borei ispe besamim. Some say the sevara is that you don't eat mint on its own. It only... enhances other things. Then when I go back to Shulchan Aruch and I saw what we said about vered, I have kinamon, cinnamon. We don't eat cinnamon. Is the bark of a tree usually, right? That's what cinnamon is. That would be what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You make a bari atse b'samim on cinnamon. Why don't I make hanosin re'ach tov b'peros?
It's not a fruit. It's a wood.
It's the wood itself. Okay. What about cloves? What about cloves?
We know the answer because of Havdalah.
So we make a mine. So Havdalah Ashkenazim cheat. Ashkenazim make a mine b'samim and everything by Havdalah. I have Hadassim in my Havdalah. Hadassim are borei atse b'samim usually. But I make a mine b'samim. Ashkenazim don't want to make waves. Some place can say that if you really know what you're doing, you should like really... It would be like a wave, like throwing all of Mount Sinai off, like one Motzei Shabbos. Right? Make atse b'samim. That'd be cool.
What about the... some people use... instead of cloves, they use the fragrance of a... an etrog.
Okay, so we'll talk about... Okay, so esrog. Right? Esrog, you make a hanoisin re'ach tov beperos. Right? during Sukkot, it says in Shulchan Aruch, where is that?
Bottom.
Bottom source. Right? HaMemeach Be'esrik Shal Mitzvah, you make a bracha, V'yesh Omrim She'em Mevarech, L'chein Nachon Shalo L'Hariach Bo. Oh, actually, I had the thing about bread here. I'm sorry. Right? In other words, there are two opinions whether you make a bracha on the Esrog Shal Mitzvah, because it might be Huxal Mitzvah, so it's intended to shake. It's not intended to smell. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's better not to smell your Esrog on Sukkot. After Sukkot, when I smell, I make Hanos and Reach Toba Peiros. What about my oranges, my grapefruit? Do I make Hanos and Reach Toba Peiros? So many people say, well, our fruit, Esrog is actually very fragrant. Mm-hmm. Grapefruit don't smell so fragrant anymore. Maybe if I have like a whole thing, lots of grapefruits, maybe. Right, Reyach Tapuchim in Shir Hashirim, Tosfos points out in Tainus, the very end of Tainus, that Reyach Tapuchim in Shir Hashirim means a citrus grove. Apples don't smell good. Right, yeah. So you're supposed to not bedavka try to smell it. If the smell happens on its own, so let's talk about that. By fragrant fruits, right? So I make a hanosin reyach tov beperos. If I intend to smell it, if the smell just happens memela, right? Just happens on its own. I don't make the bracha hanosin reyach tov beperos. If I pick it up to smell it, then I do. Now the Vilna Gaon was of the opinion that anything that is intended to eat does not really get Hanosin Reyach Toba Peiros. You only make Hanosin Reyach Toba Peiros if it's a fruit that's intended to smell. The Vilna Gaon is not accepted by the Bihar Halacha. Most assume if I have a fruit that is intended to eat, but I pick it up to smell it, I make Hanosin Reyach Toba Peiros. So if my fragrant fruit is sitting on the table, no bracha. But, mate, if I pick it up to eat it, no bracha. I pick it up to smell it first, then I do make a bracha. Cool. Now, citrus fruit, generally, they don't have a very strong smell today. Also, there's a discussion in the Acharonim like this. Very interesting. If we use the Birchas Hanehenin paradigm that we said before, so that Bori Priha Eitz is the same as Nose as Bori Atze Besamim, so Nose Reato Beperos, let's say, maybe I only make that bracha if the fragrance comes from that part that is actually called the pri. Many citrus fruits, the geschmack smell is from the
zest.
Skin, mm-hmm. Not from the pulp. Correct? So there is a discussion in Poskim. The Sefer Piskei Tshuvos recommends not to make the bracha on citrus fruits today, because we have the Gra who says you don't make a bracha if it's grown not to smell. We have the fact that it might not be so fragrant. We have the fact that what? That the smell comes from the rinds, not from the pulp. We also have the fact that there's a discussion post-gim, what bracha do I make? Shulchan Aruch says I make a hanosin reyach tov beperos. Again, this is in Sif Beis on the first. The Mishnah Berurah has a text that I make here, Sif Katan Tes in the Mishnah Berurah. They make asher nasan reyach tov. So some say, we don't know what bracha, so the minig is not to make a bracha on fruit. The one fruit that we do make the bracha on, I think,
oranges.
I'm not sure, coffee. Freshly ground coffee, right, is hanoisein reyach tov beperos. No? The Mishnah Berurah writes, Sivkon Tezayin on the top of the page, Kasra Achronu, hameriach becoffee katusha vihi chama, but I go to Fairway. It's one of the best smells in the world, no? They grind coffee for you, you take it off, but you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hanosein reyach tov beperos. Or according to Mishnah Asher Nasan, the meaning is you make hanosein. Okay, in those situations, I think you do make hanosein. Now, if you make the Roman bracha atse instead of ispe, so it could be that you're not yotze at all. Yeah.
Okay. Question about coffee and relating to rose water. Coffee, the smells because it's roasted. Like the fresh coffee berry doesn't really smell.
Right.
So, does this apply?
So the fact is, you're saying it's not natural to the fruit. It happens
after you roast it.
After I roast it. But even so, remember, bread, according to many, gets a bracha.
Right.
Right? It doesn't come naturally that way. Now, this raises an interesting question. synthetic smells.
About rose water and also about dried flowers.
Dried flowers.
Eucalyptus.
Right. So oils, eucalyptus oil, they're like, or just the leaves.
Or even, yeah, like I have dried eucalyptus in my apartment. It smells, it often smells more.
So if it has a strong smell, so eucalyptus would probably be Bore Atse Besamim, no? It lasts year to year. Right, that's why there's the old Israeli song, Chorsha Ta Eucalyptus, no? Mm. So they dried the swamps by planting eucalyptus. That's what the Zionists did. Yeah, probably make an Atse Besamim if it has a very strong flavor. Again, I don't know where you draw the line. What's considered a very strong scent and a less strong scent?
Well, that's...
But the Acharinim all say that. Yeah, David. On what?
On the Esrog, except on
Sukkos. So, Shulchan Aruch at the bottom says that Esrog shall mitzvah. There are two opinions if you make the bracha. Therefore, don't. Therefore, Esrog shall mitzvah, meaning during Sukkos, right? I shouldn't smell it. But if it's not Sukkos, I smell it and I make a bore. If I smell it, I make a bore. I make Hanosi Meato Beperos. So it happens that by Esrog, the Acharonim assume that the Iker Pri is the rind. Unlike an orange, that the rind is there to protect the Iker fruit, when you eat an Esrog, also, you eat the rind.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't want to eat Esrog.
Huh?
You
soften it. You sweeten it.
Right.
And you eat it.
Right. Because if you just eat it...
I seem to recall Machlokas where the...
Okay, so the Gemara distinguishes between Reach sheyesh bo mamish and Reach sheein bo mamish. Right? If there's a like, let's say I have kalim or begadim. Let's say I burn. I'm not recommending that you do this, but you burn some incense and you add a nice fragrance to your clothing. Do you make a bracha on that? Like it's like mugmar. Right, if I burn some incense, I make a bar mitzvah besamim. Would I make a bracha on the clothing? So the Acharonim say that that's called reyach she'ein bo mamish, that there's no substance to it, and in those situations you don't make a bracha. The question is, what about oils? So there are two different types of oils. Some oils, the way they make it, some of the, apparently perfume, some of the better perfumes, they take fragrances, and they soak it in them to the point that it loses its substance, and the perfume actually contains the mamoshos of the whatever it was. Other perfumes are, they just add a little bit of fragrance, but then they remove it. There's no mamoshos, it doesn't disintegrate. If it disintegrates, if I have a rose that disintegrates into oil, so then I'd make Hanosi Meir Tov, I'd make Borei Atse Besamim on the rose oil itself, even though I have an oil. I'm sorry this is going a little bit too long, but people are asking questions. But if it's a Reach She'ein by Mamish, in other words, it doesn't disintegrate, I take the rose petal, I take it out, then I would not make Atse Besamim on that rose oil. No? Synthetic oils. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is called in the Shmir Shas Kol Chasa Perek Samach Aleph, note 32, that synthetic oils do not get any bracha at all. He says fundamentally these things are petroleum. They would smell bad. They are doing like some chemical process to make it smell good. No bracha. That's a chiddush. I would think that you should probably make a Boire Mine Besamim. But I thought, like, tonight as I was walking here, I was thinking about this from Shlomo Zalman, I thought maybe the pshat is, he doesn't say it like this, but this is what seems to me. The brach is Boire Mine Besamim. I can't make Atze or Ispe, obviously, it's synthetic. Boire Mine Besamim, right? But Boire involves Bria, that God created it. If something is completely man-made, I don't make a Boire on it. Right?
But like you said with bread,
right, hamotzi, yeah. Right? I don't make bore. Right. That's what Acharonim say, because it's man-made. So these are some of the issues. Shemen Afar Simon has another bracha, Mvarech Bore Shemen Arev. Shemen Afar Simon is oil from a balsam tree. It's not, in modern Hebrew, in the Farsimon is a persimmon. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about oil from a balsam tree. Apparently, they grow near Yericho. It's called Yericho because there's Reach Tov in these trees. Right? That's what Rashi writes in Daf Mem Gimel and Brachas. I don't know if Yericho still smells good or not, but that's what we assume. What other topics did we... we didn't talk about very important. Schmeck topic. Snuff. Snuffing tobacco. What bracha do you make on snuffing tobacco? So, minig is no bracha. Arach HaShulchan. Resh Tazayin Ois Dalet. Yesha Tomu. Some ask a question. How come we don't make the bracha on snuff? But everyone knows what Schmeck topic is? I remember as a kid, there was like an old man in show. You used to walk around with a case.
Yeah.
And like you have to like hit it with your fingers on the side. And right, you take a little bit. There's like a whole Torah about how to do Schmeck topic.
Right?
There's an old man that had a silver case for a Schmeck topic. The guy was a class act.
Yeah.
There's no one in Mount Sinai with a Schmeck topic.
Well, it's because it's dangerous. You can get cancer.
That's true. Okay. Cigarettes. You could also say it's also dangerous. But what bracha do you make on the smell of cigarettes? Yesha Tamu. How come we don't make a bracha on she'ifas ashan tabak befiv, when I inhale smoke, or in my nose, I snuff smoke? So he says it's not a question, because we know that you don't smoke because of the good smell. If anything, the smell is really bad, right? And he writes like this. Adarabu, hu chazak umar. The smell of cigarettes is terrible. Actually, yesh harbei b'nei adam u'b'yichud nashim, she'in yecholim l'smol klal hareyach. There are many people like women who can't handle the smell of cigarettes. I remember my father used to smoke. My mother kicked him out of the house all the time. Remember, my earliest memories as a kid is like going out to the porch to speak to Abba because he's smoking his cigarette. It was like...
This is why they invented smoking jackets. What? The gentleman in the 19th century could smoke and then put on their smoking jackets and put on the regular jacket and go hang out with the ladies afterwards.
That's right. The reason why my father was never accepted to Yeshivas Chai in Berlin is he went to meet Rev Huttner, and he didn't know that apparently it was considered not respectful. He lit a cigarette like when he was in with Rev Huttner, so Rev Huttner got really angry and kicked him out, so he didn't get into Chai in Berlin. Whatever.
It's usually the sign of a yeshiva guy that he smokes a lot of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Rev Huttner used to smoke. He had a cigarette holder, a silver cigarette holder.
So why do you object to your father?
It's not respectful to smoke in front of the Rosh Hashiva. You have to... Chaim Berliners are different. Okay. So he writes that everyone knows that smoking is in order to heal you. It heals your stomach, but the smell isn't good. That's what he writes. It's l'refuah, so it's tumka.
He's still with the Pnei Yeshua, the discredited science.
That's right. And then he has an interesting idea. He says snuff fundamentally has a bad smell. The only reason why it smells good is because they add stuff to cover up the bad smell. There's a Gemara about Reach Shel Beis Hakisei. Right? In other words, that they would have air fresheners. You don't make a bracha on an air freshener. Because an air freshener is there to, right, cover up the bad smell.
Does that mean you wouldn't make a bracha on deodorant sticks?
So, correct. So... That's what they assume, that those things are there only to cover some other bad smell. So perfume, the assumption is, perfume is there to add a good smell. It's not to just cover up a bad smell. That's the assumption. What bracha you make on perfume, again, it depends on how the perfume is made. You really have to investigate. According to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, many perfumes, the cheaper perfumes, don't get any bracha because they're all synthetic.
Now, if I'm walking along the street and there's a street vendor, and he's making gyros, and it smells delicious. Am I allowed to smell it? It's tray food.
Yeah. There's no issue of smelling tray food.
Can I enjoy it?
There's a machlokes in the Gemara about delicious. Whether recha milsehi or recha lav milsehi. Pesachim daf ayin vav. But we assume, I'm going to give you about this tomorrow morning if I feel up to it. But we, that's what I'm up to with the yeshiva. But we assume that there's no issue in the smelling of non-kosher foods. Yeah. There might be an issue of smelling non-kosher wine. Because stamina was also bahana. Basar b'chalav is also bahana. Okay. I mean, that's rare, when but it won't be basar b'chalav because it's non kosher meat.
Wouldn't you say it's the same case as the bakery?
On Pesach.
No, I'm saying when I walk by there during the day, so you're getting hana from the smell.
You can smell it.
So there, you're getting hana from the smell, so therefore you wouldn't make a bracha, because you're getting hana from it. Then you say that anything you're getting hana from you...
I said on Pesach you shouldn't walk past the bakery, because I'm not allowed to get hana from chametz on Pesach. The rest of the time, it's like bread. Do I make a bracha on bread? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, the minig is not to, the Rama says not to make a bracha on bread. Some say make a bracha, nosim reyach tov v'pas. Yeshom, that you shouldn't try to smell the bread bedafka for bracha. Okay, so basically, yeah, last question.
What about wine and tea?
Wine and tea. So again,
separate.
It could be, if this smells really good, you can make hanosin reyach tov beperos. That bracha applies to anything. Like when you go to the spice factory, if it's... Now, spice factory is a little bit different because you don't eat them on their own. Tea is the primary ingredient, right? It's not... It flavors other stuff, but that's the primary thing, as opposed to spices like cloves or the like that just contributes a little bit. What else did you ask about? You asked about tea and...
Wine.
What bracha did I make on fragrant wine? What? No, but if you smell it before, if you smell it because you enjoy the smell, what bracha would you make? Probably hanosin reyach tov beperos. That's very interesting. I haven't seen that in poskim, but some wines actually have a very pleasant smell. Again, this is a big mystery to me. The brachas on smells. So you said Heather Garden. You walk through Heather Garden, what bracha do you make? So the Achronim say when there's a lot of different things around, you should make a bori mine besamim for everything. There's probably some atse, some ispes over there, right? Some are annuals, some are perennials. Probably make mine besamim, be yotze everything.
Why is that okay?
Because just like brachas on fruits, I can't just take the fifth and make a shahakol on everything. So how come? So the Rama sounds like it's okay. Yeah. What am I going to do? I have a Rama here.
Does that mean that you misunderstood the severity of making a shahakol when it's not really a shahakol, but not sure that it's not such a big deal? That I've been trying to advocate for that all along.
To what? To make a shahakol?
That it's not such a big deal to make a shahakol if you're not sure what to make.
No. So it is a very big deal, but mine besamim is different than shahakol. Shahakol is a general bracha. You see, Tosfos points out that if I'm mesupik about what bracha to make on the fragrance, so Tosfos says you should make a shahakol. That's one opinion. Then the other opinion Tosfos is that you make a mine besamim. We've paskin that you make a mine besamim. The Rama writes that whenever I have many different smells around, I make a mine besamim. That's the din. The reason is because I could technically, if I wanted to, make an atze on this and an ispe on that, but I also don't know what everything is in Heather Garden.
But go there, or try not
but
to smell it.
Unlike shahakol, which is a general bracha, right? And I'm not supposed to do something general. If I could do something specific, over here it's a specific bracha.
So let me make hadama on everything, even the haitzes.
That again, the Gemara says if a person wants to be a chassid, he should learn mili de brachos. Precisely not to be like what you're suggesting, David.
But these are also brachos.
So, but these, again, this goes back to how we began. If it's a different category of brachos, I'm okay. But you're right. This is one of the big mysteries. I'm sorry I'm spending too long on this with you tonight. I just don't... I don't know. I don't know so much about the brachos on fragrances.
Okay. I don't know if this is...
Okay. We have Myra for 1 minute. Yeah.
Okay. What about doctor administered marijuana?
Cannabis.
It has a smell.
How'd you know?
And it's an annual plant.
It's an annual plant.
Okay, old expert.
So it'd be ispe besamim?
That's what I'd say.
Okay. I think the Chayadim one place discusses it. You?
He, two places he has cannabis. Both in Hilchos Shabbos. One is by the Malacha.
He doesn't have it over here.
One is by the Malacha of Dash. So you make the hemp fiber into something usable. And the other one by the Ner Shel Shabbos. You can just like Rashi on Bamei Medlik and you make a wick out of it.
Right.
And so the Shulchan Aruch has it, so yeah.
Interesting. Again, in the Luach Brachos of Birkas Hanen in the back of this book, he does not have anything about marijuana.
So. Like the old joke about LSD, what rock do you make? You know,
Tfilas HaDerech. Okay, Yashikar, thank you.